This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
Today we're going into a space in this world that we know all too little about. We should know much more about it. In fact, it should be a part of every human life and every human soul. Fortunately, we have with us today someone who is very much in tune with this level of consciousness that we have lost touch with. Zohara Hieronymus is here. She's the wife of Bob Hieronymus of 21st Century Radio. She's an award-winning radio broadcaster, social justice and environmental activist. She's a professional artist and a fabulous one. She founded the Ruscom Mansion Community Health Center in Baltimore in 1984. She's hosted the national radio program Future Talk. She did that until 2008. She still co-hosts 21st Century Radio with Bob. And she's the author of books, one of which we're going to be talking about today. Her website is www.zoharaonline.com, and you'll be able to click through to that from the Dreamland page. Today, we're talking about animals and our relationship with animals. So welcome to Dreamland.
Thank you, Whitley. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's exciting to have you because it is an extraordinary and exciting subject here. Your book, White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, is very enlightening and illuminating. And folks, over the course of this show, we're going to find out exactly what all of these white animals mean. What is their significance in the world? But first, I want to talk about a couple of things. One is, first, our relationship with animals. Something is deeply wrong here. Deeply wrong. Can you talk to that for a few minutes, if you will, Zoe?
If we look to elder lore and indigenous traditions worldwide that still exist, we find a right relationship with our animal kin. Kin is the key word. Dr. Gay Bradshaw, who wrote Elephants on the Edge and developed in psychology something called transspecies psychology, has shown beyond a shadow of a doubt that animals and us share in many cultural similarities. We have love, we have emotion, we have memory, we have play, we have community, we have history. And the indigenous peoples understand this. Animals aren't less evolved than us. They just have a different job to do. If we think about it rationally, the earth will do beautifully if we bolster the ecosystems and habitats of our animals. And it doesn't need humans. We all think, oh, my God, if we go extinct. Well, the truth is, the earth does very well without us. It will not do well without its stewards. And its stewards do not happen to be humans right now. It happens to be the animal kingdom. And what happened for me, Whitley, is having been an animal lover my whole life and an advocate for the ecosystem and all those good activist works that I've done since I was 12, I have also been a telepath where I can talk to animals. And in 2011, I decided to take my skills outside the boundaries of domestic animals. And what happened was I was firstly relieved to discover that like dowsers or remote viewers or anybody who practices non-local consciousness, that yes, I could come into rapport with wild animals that I never met, I never knew, I had no relationship to personally, but they're available to us. So that's the first thing. Is all the animals that are in each of our locales, wherever we live, are anxious to be our partners in restoring, in preserving, and in conserving our environment.
And we are desperate. As I sit talking to you, I'm in California, in Southern California. It is about 92 outside right now. It should be where I am, about 72. We are facing an afternoon that could turn into an inferno when the wind picks up. It shouldn't be like this. The hurricanes, the terrible hurricanes that hit the Americas should not have happened.
I also like to add that also might be in part because of the amount of weather engineering that we've been doing for 30 years. It's not discussed publicly, and I'm not just talking about chemtrails. I'm talking about much more serious, sophisticated weather engineering for warfare, for human depopulation, and for other nefarious and sometimes reasonable, you know, challenges. But it has so undone our metasystems on top of all the obvious things we've done with air pollution and water pollution and food contamination, et cetera. But you're right. And, you know, the interesting thing for me about this is having been an activist my whole life and the amount of fear that it can generate in us, the animals are saying, stop the fear and get to work. The answer is to improve the life around you. So while I was having this dream experience for 4 years, and I'll share with that shamanic dreaming what that is, but I was meeting with the bear, the lion, the wolf, the elephant, and the buffalo, and those are the four apex guardian mammals that are talked about at length in White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. And what they said is, save as many of us as you can. And the reason for that is they are each guardians over enormously significant ecosystems, from the rainforest to the savannas to the rivers to the fields to the plains. And
well, you know, if the lion population continues to decline like it has been, they will be extinct in 20 years, and elephants along with them.
Oh, absolutely. With all of these mammals, they are all facing extinction. You know, I think the challenge for all of us is appreciating the World Wildlife Fund had a report in 2014 that since between 1970 and 2010, we've lost 52% of our mammals, our birds, reptiles, amphibians, and fish.
And
that's 27,000 species a year.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they have something to tell us, these animals.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, I want to talk about the relationship between the sixth extinction and the sixth sun, the Mayan sixth sun, and science's prediction of the fact that we are in the sixth extinction. But before we do any of those things, free dreamlanders, we're going to take a little break, and you're going to listen carefully to these ads, and I am hypnotizing you right now so that you will do exactly what they say while we sit here and sip our tea and wait to come back.
TheUnknownCountry.com subscriber area offers a wealth of information and interviews unlike any other resource in the world. Let Whitley Strieber guide you through powerful and enriching meditations. Thrilled some of the most fascinating interviews ever recorded, including Dr. Brian O'Leary telling the truth about the Mars face in the Vintage Dreamland section, and Bruce and Andrea Leninger describing the most convincing reincarnation case in history, that of their son. But there's more, much more. Listen to Whitley Strieber's original hypnosis session as they were recorded with Dr. Donald Klein. Hear him as he discovers for the first time that there were strange visitors in his life. Download audiobooks of communion, transformation, and majestic. Listen to Whitley Strieber and Art Bell read Superstorm, and to Whitley's extraordinary reading of his book of childhood experiences, The Secret School. And yes, there's more, far more. Over 1,000 separate pieces of material, every one of them incredible. Many of them rare treasures. The Unknown Country subscriber area, the richest source of information of its kind in the world. To subscribe, go to unknowncountry.com and click on the subscribe tab. Don't wait. Do it right now.
This is Whitley Strieber. We're talking to Zoe Hieronymus today, White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, her book, her website, ZoharaOnline.com. Before we stopped for a few minutes for our free Dreamlanders, I started to ask you about the sixth extinction and the sixth sun and the relationship between the two, which you touch on in the book in some interesting ways. Could you get us into first, what is the sixth extinction?
Well, it's the most massive extinction since our last one in the last glacial age. And that's, interestingly enough, the connection to the white spirit animals, because all of the elder lore, whether in Asia, India, the United States, Africa, is all about the last ice age, and that these white-coated animals, unlike the rest of their species, are reminders of the last ice age, meaning the last extinction. And that the prophecies about them actually suggest, as does the Maya's sixth sun, which is when all traditions will intermingle and elder lore will bring us to our awareness of heart and higher intelligence, is that they are basically a very similar process of the two sides of the coin, loss and leverage. The sixth extinction is caused in part because of human activity, which is why Paul Crutzen has now called it the Anthropocene. Our activity since the 1800s has so changed the meta systems that we can actually say it's human-caused extinction, in part. There are also natural cycles, as we look at, that go across millions of years, like the Maya look at. You know, they have fascinating calculations of how fast things are changing, and what they say now is we're in the ninth wave, which repeats itself every 32 to 36 days. When they started their calculations, we're talking about millions of years, and then it was hundreds of thousands, and then hundreds. Now we're down to literally every month we have an opportunity to access our greatest vibration, our most refined frequency. And that's what the white spirit animals themselves represent, which is they are the prophets of the wild. They come to share with us that, yes, they are facing extinction, and so are we. But if we are diligent about preserving them, the bear, the lion, the wolf, the elephant, the buffalo, let me add, the whale, the porpoise, all these matriarchal animal cultures, they can then take care of the ecosystems that are collapsing. Because when you take away the top of an ecosystem, the whole thing falls apart. If we preserve them, unlike our habit of eliminating and killing them for profit or personal delight in murder, which is a tragic story, but true, we then can make the Earth more resilient as we move through these drastic climate changes and Earth changes.
So, and we do hope to move through them, because we're in them right now. Obviously, all of this business about climate change denial, I've noticed that the people who used to spout out that stuff have quieted down recently. They're afraid to talk now because they know they've been delaying change for a long time. About the only person I know of in public life who's willing to openly say climate change isn't real and global warming won't happen is President Trump himself. And he is, of course, destroying the Environmental Protection Administration, hoping to roll back the Clean Air Act. He is planning to place tariffs on the import of solar panels from China, meaning that our solar industry will collapse, and that will leave us with coal and oil again.
Yeah, it's all tragic. This entire administration is a great tragedy for our nation and
the world.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be I'm always very careful, because my listeners are Close Encounter witnesses, most of them.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to interfere with their ability to explore with me by bringing up politics, but this has gone too far.
It has, but
yeah,
you know,
it's
it also
beyond.
Is in keeping with the astrological signatures, and I do want to give you the good news. The good news is Jupiter has just moved into Scorpio, and so has the Sun. So all those things that are hidden, both within ourselves in terms of our great talents and aptitudes of psi-related phenomena and our non-local consciousness will grow, but also those things that have been hidden will be revealed. Scorpio is a great challenge, you know, of how to handle energy that is so deep within us and deep within the recesses of our consciousness. But with Jupiter there, it's going to really expand that capacity. So when we look, for example, at the animals and they're imploring us, because they came to me in a waking vision, I didn't think, oh, I have this great idea. Let's talk about the white spirit animals. In fact, it was a waking day vision. And I stood in awe of them as if I were before these revered teachers, and I asked them, this was back in 2013, what can I do for you? You know, why are you here? And they told me, we want you to tell our story. And they meant to tell it as a collective, not as one at a time, because in doing so collectively, they insisted I'd have a better understanding. And they were right, because what you immediately notice is that they're all matriarchies, meaning their cultures are centered around the mother and their offspring, and they implore us as humans to restore this ethos of care, which patriarchy has undone, continues to use as a destructive tool in what I refer to as a death economy. You know, if you think about war and the ecosystems and all the things you mentioned under this administration, these are all death tools. They're not tools for life. So what we all want to focus on is wherever we live and whoever we know and whatever we know about ourselves is to really do the best each of us can, even if it means just pray each day. Prayer is a very, very powerful human tool.
You know, there's such a sense of urgency that you mention, and just right in the introduction to the book, and I feel it too. I want to talk a little bit about our relationship with our world and the sense of separateness that we feel. We're in many respects very, very different from the animals. We look different. We do different things. We have changed the planet profoundly in ways that no other species ever would or could.
Exactly.
And we're in a situation where we live in a world that they can't understand. Not that they simply aren't taught, but they can't understand it in the same way that we do. There is no way you're ever going to teach a chimpanzee, a gorilla, or an African gray parrot how a car works. You can't. It's beyond them. Now, they live in a world that has, in a way, gone beyond them and that is self-destructing. So, you know, there is some kind of a restoration needed there. And when we get back, Free Dreamlanders, we're going to find out from Zoe what it is, because she knows. We'll be right back.
Whitley's now legendary book, Supernatural, written with Professor Jeffrey Kripal, is now out in paperback. 70 five-star reviews on Amazon. Called thought-provoking by Kirkus Reviews. Famed paranormal researcher Dean Radin says it'll make your hair stand on end. What it will do is take you through dozens of never-before-published Whitley Strieber experiences, brilliantly analyzed by one of the world's leading experts on the unknown. Don't miss this exciting, groundbreaking winner. Get yours today, The Supernatural, Why the Unexplained is Real. There's a great new contest for subscribers on unknowncountry.com. We're giving away 10 copies of The Supernatural paperback, signed by Whitley. The drawing will be held on October 15th. Become a subscriber and find out how to enter.
This is Whitley Strieber. I'd like to let you know that The Path and The Communion Letters are both have just been published in ebook format for $3.99. Both books have become collector's items and are quite expensive in paper format, but now you can get them as an ebook for just $3.99, and you can get them anywhere ebooks are sold, for your Nook, for your Kindle, on Kobo, on Apple Books, anywhere you get ebooks, you will find them. And why should you look? Well, there's only one path. The Tarot Path is a unique book that completely re-envisions the Tarot of Marseille, showing how you can use it in your own life to understand yourself and your inner search with great clarity. There's nothing quite like it. It's a new idea, but also a very old one, because when you lay out the cards in the way described in The Path, you'll know immediately they were intended originally to be put together in this way. Communion Letters, edited by Ann Strieber, is a collection of letters from close encounter witnesses around the world that shed incredible new light on the close encounter experience. Don't miss either book. They are well worth $3.99 each.
Where do you find Eben Alexander, Dean Radin, Jim Mars, Joseph Farrell, Zechariah Sitchin, William Henry, George Noory, Lawrence Gardner, Trish and Rob McGregor, Marie D. Jones, Marla Fries, Peter Lavenda, Richard Dolan, Starfire Tour, Linda Moulton Howe, and hundreds of others all telling you their deepest secrets? In the Dreamland Archive on unknowncountry.com. nearly 1,000 exciting, mind-opening interviews, all yours for under $5 a month. Go to unknowncountry.com and subscribe today. Hours of listening pleasure. Expect to be amazed.
We're talking to Zoe Hieronymus. Her book, White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change. If you get into this, you get off your duff, and you actually go buy a copy of it and really read it, it will change you, and in an interesting way, it will open you and make you bigger in ways you didn't even know you were small. That's what it did for me. Her website, especially for this book and what she's doing in this area, is whitespiritanimals.com. That's whitespiritanimals.com. So go there and get involved, because this is a new aspect of waking up, and it's very real. It's very real. They are here. They are ready to interact with us. And Zoe, you do that all the time. You know how I want to handle this? I want to start by you telling us the story of Matata. And from there, we'll work our way into, for each one of us, listeners, and for me, building a new relationship with the world around us, because that's what we're doing today.
Yeah, amen to that. And thank you for, you know, the saying what the book did in terms of your own understanding, because it really was a journey for me of, firstly, the animals came to me and asked me to do this. It took me a couple of years before I even submitted it to my publisher, Inner Traditions Bear and Company. I spent dreaming with the animals, and I'll get to Matata because that's where she comes in. I practice what's called shamanic dreaming, which is before you go to sleep, I would ask each specific animal one at a time over a period of months, at a time only, lion, I need to know what it is you think we need to do. And they would tell me, and lion, by the way, said, close the ozone hole. And by the way, close the hole in your hearts, you know, that keeps you from knowing that everything is connected by love and reverence. Matata is a bonobo. Well, she's deceased now, one of the longest lived bonobos in captivity. And a scientist who worked with the bonobos to prove their intelligence, Sue Savage Rumbaugh and I had interviewed her about her work with the bonobos and her hope to give them autonomy while they were in captivity and raise money to take them all into freedom in the Congo, which she was unable to do. But after we spoke, a week later, all of a sudden, there's a bonobo. I have psychic vision as well, and I've had this since I was a child, but I've worked to cultivate it. Like every practitioner of any art, you have to practice to keep it healthy. All of a sudden, I have my white shepherd dog with me named Bella, and she's terrified, and I see a bonobo standing in my bedroom. And truthfully, I have to tell you this, she was masturbating. And I'm thinking, oh my God, people are going to think this is so weird. I only found out later that's very common. That's a greeting. That meant, hello, we love you. Hello, you're one of us. She came into my bedroom, and she basically started talking to me. And I had to call the scientist, Sue, a few weeks later after I sort of just took into myself. Actually, it was probably a few days later initially. And I said, you know, Matata has just showed up in my bedroom and wants to have a talk, as she says. And then I called Dr. Stanley Krippner, who most people know, and he's a great educator on shamanism and Maimonides Dream Laboratory and so many important things that have developed from Saybrook Institute over the decades. But he said, I said, well, what do you think I should do? Should I, like, go on and have conversations with Matata? And he said, well, sure, and keep good records. So I did. I have about 32 recorded conversations that I had telepathically with Matata, though I have many others. And this will sound strange to some of you, but she would just call me up on what I call the telepathic line. And I would always try to take her call, whether I was out grocery shopping or walking with a dog. Sometimes I'd say to her, you know, I got to call you back. She would then begin to tell me stories about the Ice Age, about meteorites, about earth changes, even to the point of saying the bonobos, and humans are very similar, which they are genetically, we're like 2% different at that. She said that bonobos used to take the discarded humans and raise them, and that bonobos actually interbred with humans. And that the reason that she's so concerned about all of us, like all the other mammals are, is that if we don't preserve them and their ecosystems, then we will also see extinction in a way we don't need to. Their point is that we can create some resiliency on the earth, both internally by opening our hearts and our minds to all of life, talking to trees, talking to the birds, when you see a dead animal on the road, you know, saying a prayer over its spirit. I think the essential thing, Whitley, that Metata and all of these animals are saying to us is come into loving communion. Come into loving communion with all of life, because all of life is connected. You know, we may experience ourselves as separate from each other or separate from nature, but we're not. And not only are we not separate, every thought we have, every emotion we have is substantial. We may not be able to see it, but it exists. So Metata really was the one that took me by the hand and showed me what I was capable of doing 2 years before the white spirit animals showed up. And one thing, I just want to share one thing she said to me one day. She goes, you know, we don't judge humans. She said, they lost their feet when they got wings. And what she meant was when we discovered the airplane, we lost our rootedness to the earth. We lost our love of the earth.
Well, something is certainly very wrong, because ever since we got the airplane, we've been killing each other with
quicker,
much quicker. I mean, it is the thing that is hard for us to understand is that we haven't changed at all since we came into being. We're still a very violent and intense species. And what has happened is, as our skills have improved, so has our power to hurt each other and the world around us. I want to talk a little bit now about this sense of, we talked a little bit about the interconnectedness of life, but you discuss an ecology of spiritual beliefs and a plague of dissociation later in the book.
Yeah.
That I found very interesting. What is this plague of dissociation? Because I see it all around me, and I know that we had listeners who will have turned this show off already. And if you are listening still, it's because you're waking up, and that's important. And they will have done that because they hear things about relationship with animals, and they hear things about environmental problems, and they just can't take it. But what is wrong here? Why can't we face what the reality is?
Well, dissociation is a psychological term which refers to why it is anybody can do something they know inherently is wrong, whether it's minor, throwing trash out the window, or major, you know, not following EPA laws and polluting whole waters, or in Texas, you know, or someplace else, giving people water that's contaminated by hazardous chemicals. Dissociation is sort of like, I call it the room of denial. You know, something, as we go to do something, or we participate, or we don't work to stop something that we know is wrong, we just go into our comfortable sofa room of dissociation. It's our room of denial. Dissociation is really, for me, that's the great plague of humanity, where we, since the Cartesian materialism took hold, we have been trained to believe that we are only in existence while we breathe, and that our consciousness is limited by the edge of our skin and our brain. And the truth is, we're eternal spiritual beings having a short-term physical experience. The animals know that. The animals are very much a spirit being and a physical being. You know, in Kabbalah, they teach that we have an animal soul and a human soul, and the animal soul is already perfected. If you watch an animal, they do their job perfectly. They're nobly. They never go off course. Humans, however, need to be educated spiritually, and I think the great poverty is that we have not educated our heart. We haven't given ourselves the opportunity of spiritual maturation along with our technological development, which means we've focused so much on the left hemisphere of our brain, the linear, the rational, you know, the technological, and we have let go of our intuitive, the right hemisphere of the brain, which takes in whole, that sees everything related, that is inclusive, not exclusive, that is able to appreciate that all things have a purpose. And our lack is in not having enough reverence or regard for appreciating that everything has purpose, and that we are not the creator. We're meant to be co-creators, but co-creation means coming from a place of love, of humility, and of a great imagination for community wholeness.
So we to regain this, and we did have it for a long time, let's talk a little bit about the animals, the particular animals that you have brought up. The bear, let's start with the bear.
The bear is so magnificent. And folks, what I did was I dreamt with each of these animals before I studied them, so I would have an authentic experience of them before I read what, you know, indigenous people or those who are biologists say. And what I experienced with bear in my dreams is that bear is the major healer. Bear is, I like to call her, chief of medicine. And she showed me smudge medicine and smoke medicine and the kinds of medicines we see in Native traditions. Bear is the one who taught elders how to find herbs that heal. And they teach us now to bear witness. Bearing witness is an action. It's not a nothing. To bear witness means to be awake, to tell what you see, and do your best to take part in changing what needs to be changed. They also tell us to prepare ahead of time. That's what they do. They tell us to bear children. And if we look at the sky in the North Pole, which they have province over, it said that they are the guardian of where all the longitudes on Earth come together. Bear really is the healer of humanity. And that's the first animal. And when you think about their great range, and in this case, I looked at the white bear, which is in the rainforest of British Columbia, I have to say, the good thing is that they are now going to conserve 19 million acres of rainforest as a result of the great white bears being seen coming into human contact. And that's what's happening worldwide with all these white spirit animals.
We're going to talk about the white spirit animals in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I really want to get through
the
other specific
animals.
But, you know, before we go on, I want to, just a bit of an aside, a lot of us have animal companions, spirit animals. Mine is the dog, which is only mentioned indirectly in your book, and I want to talk about that because it's mentioned in context.
Well, dog is wolf.
Of the wolf, yeah.
Dog is wolf.
Well, I want to learn more about
wolf
then, because I've been very connected with wolves. I wrote, my first novel was called The Wolfen, and then I wrote a book called Wolf of Shadows, which was a children's book, a young adult book about wolves, a boy and his mother becoming part of a wolf pack after a nuclear war. This was written a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I'm very into that. And so when we get back, I'd like to talk about wolf, and then we're going to go on to the other spirit animals, and then we're going to talk about the signs and what do the white spirit animals mean. Subscribers, will be right back. Free Dreamlanders, goodbye for now. Come on into the fold, join the community, and just keep on keeping on like the rest of us are going to do right now. Our guest today is Zoe Hieronymus. Her book, very powerful, White Spirit Animals, Prophets of Change, our website, whitespiritanimals.com.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and its family of subscribers. Unknown Country was founded by Ann Streber. Our news editor is Matthew Frizzell. Our coordinator is Amy Safrankova. Whitley Streber is your Dreamland host, and I'm your announcer, Ted Alexander. Thank you for listening.